Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're all a little drunk here.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we are the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, and I am starting with a beer. So the book starts off with Alice, the titular Alice, or as Creeper Lewis Carroll said, titular, and then winked at you, Alice, because we'll get to him. She's sitting there, you know, kind of just really, really bored on the riverbank with her sister, and she's like, this sucks, you should take me to another place, which is an IPA from Gun Hill Brewing Co., take me to another place with Amarillo, Cascade, and Columbus hops at 6.5% alcohol. Ooh, that's nice. That's a nice sweet boy. It's a little hazy. That's delicious. Good job, Gun Hill. I support your right to bear arms if this is what you're doing on that hill. I guess we're just doing this because it's a classic, right? We're just knocking this off the list.
Yeah, it's a classic.
We were at one point in time trying to do this at a brewery. We've given up on that
because that's too much work.
That's too much work. And that brewery was, no, I don't know if we need to go there, but
it's fine. And this is an incredibly famous story. It was an incredibly, incredibly famous book that clearly no one has read, because if they had, they would not like it.
You'd like blows. Bits and pieces of it.
But some overall, parts are famous. The Mock Turtle, not so much.
No, I didn't get that.
But you could say that about a lot of things. Like, some parts of Peter North are famous. not all parts of everything is famous.
But it's the whole package that counts.
Yeah, exactly. So it starts off very, you know, if you're picturing the Disney 1951 or whatever it was movie, it's pretty faithful in the beginning, at least. Not perfect, but the gist is there. Alice is bored, and she sees the rabbit. She's like, that's exciting, a rabbit, because this was England in 1865. Like, there was nothing to do. So
no civil war to keep them occupied.
Yeah, right. And the slave trade was long over. They're like, this is boring. We don't want to look at the poors. You know, she's clearly of the genteel class. And she sees a white rabbit. She's like, that's a good color. And then it pulls out a fucking pocket watch. She's like, oh, wow, okay.
Completely normal.
He's punctual.
She wasn't fazed with the fact that he was wearing a suit to begin with. But when he pulled out the watch, she was like, wait, something's off here.
Well, maybe it was one of those rabbits that people give stupid names to, like, this is Professor Snugglebottom, whatever.
Professor Snugglesworth.
Was that your rabbit?
No, that was a rabbit on the internet. My rabbit's name is Bunny Bonassi.
It's pretty good, but it's not Professor Snugglesworth. Why am I remembering the name Chauncey Applebottom? Was that also a rabbit name?
That was a theoretical rabbit name, yeah.
Theoretical rabbit name is the best hipster band name I've ever fucking heard. Someone please make a beer, theoretical rabbit name. In theory, every name is a rabbit name. They just produce millions of offspring.
Yeah, they really do.
So she sees it checking its watch and it's like, oh, I'm late. And she's like, wow, I fucking speak a rabbit.
This book is going to be weird. You have no idea.
Oh, I took my acid today, I see. Okay.
And so she follows the rabbit to a rabbit hole, as one does. And he's like, hey, jump down. Introduce yourself first. But buy me a drink. That you go to the rabbit hole, which is a really large tunnel that a child could fit in.
And she falls for several years.
Yeah, enough to like get over the shock of falling, then to start noticing things. I'm like, hey, there's shit on these shelves. And she grabs a thing.
And calculate the radius of the earth.
But she like looks at the jar, like, wow, like apricot preserves or whatever the fuck it is. And then puts it on another shelf as she's still falling. She's falling at this a very, very slow rate. 0.2 meters per second squared. Now, whatever a slow version of that is. And eventually she lands at the bottom. That is, was it
9.8?
9.8. Yeah. Look at that. I don't know. How did I fail physics? And so she
easily.
Gets, yeah, right.
Almost it was, effortless, really.
It was, yeah. I had to try to fail physics. Like I put effort in to get the low score I did. She gets down at the bottom and just lands because, you know, why not? And there's a table and a little door. And she's like, all right, going to have to solve this. This is like one of those riddles. We have like it's a like fox, a sheep, and a bag of grain.
It's like you get that CD-ROM in the mail when you're a kid and it's Myst. And you're nine, and you're like, oh, a game. And you're playing Myst, and you're like,
is this a game or one picture?
Game. What is going on? I spun in a circle 300 times.
I remember on PlayStation, Myst or Riven, was that the sequel to Myst?
I think so, yeah.
Or is Myst the sequel to Riven? I don't know.
Myst was the first.
But I remember, you know, because one of the first games I had on PlayStation was Final Fantasy VII, which is a great game. And it was three discs. I was like, oh my God, there's so much game. And then somebody had Myst, and it was five discs. And I was like, that must be even more game, you know? And then I was playing, I was like, there's nothing here. What is the rest of it? What are the other four CDs for? You just go in a circle and nothing happens.
It's background information.
What the fuck is this game? And I never, to this day, I never went back. Like, I gotta figure out Myst. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I Myst nothing. And but I remember, like, wow, how much this must be an epic game. And all it is, like, here's a bridge and a room and a desk and a window, and you're back out on the bridge. Like, what the fuck is this garbage? And then I think about the guy who owned that game, which is like someone my dad's age who wasn't a computer nerd. I don't think that guy even knew how to turn on the PlayStation. Like, what was he doing with it? There's a lot of mysteries there.
He was a wizard.
Mysteries. Anyway, so she lands at the bottom. And she gotta figure this shit out. There's a little door. I want to go through it. That sounds like a good time. But I can't because it's a little door. Oh, good. There's a conveniently labeled bottle of juice that says, drink me. No further instructions, but like, what are you going to do? When in Rome, and she drinks it.
She would never survive at a bar.
No, she would roofie herself.
Speaking of which, I have a bottle of juice that says, drink me. Actually, it doesn't say drink me, but it probably says. So anyway, so this was just one of the weirdest things we've read, and we've read some weird things, such as A Clockwork Orange by Casey Beasy. It's A Clockwork Orange, but it's literally a chicken.
It made
holding
a
an egg beater.
That's also weird.
Yeah. And it just, mostly, mostly I just wanted to get this beer because I thought the name was amazing. And I was like, it'll fit for this.
A nice chicken flavored stout.
And this is it's just a double IPA.
With real bits of chicken. All beaks.
It's for a weeping young debaucha. Trying to make chicken noise, but I coughed in the middle of it.
Anyway, no, it's an IPA. Yeah, it's good.
Hey, all right.
Well, I'm not hallucinating yet, I don't think.
No, you will be.
We should have just gotten a bunch of edibles for this episode because that might have helped.
So she drinks it, and then, like magic, she starts to shrink it. And she gets down real tiny, and she finds out eventually that she's way too tiny. She can't even fit to the... she's too tiny. And she left the key to the door back up on the table. Now she can't get back on the table. And so she's... Luckily, there's a tiny, tiny cake that says, eat me. And she's like, hey, fuck you too.
Does it even say eat me? She just like...
It says eat me.
All right. Later on, she finds additional things.
Like, I'm drawing of somebody holding up the middle finger.
Now, later on, the mushroom has the magic sides, but doesn't know which one. But the cake does say, suck my balls on it.
And for the rest of the book, she just gets in the habit of, I better try eating that first to see what happens.
Yeah. So she does eat it, and then she starts to grow again. And when she grows, she definitely gets some really long bones.
Did you notice in the engravings that when she shrunk at one point later in the book, she just has no body. It's just a head and feet. It's like her torso is the only thing.
That's a thing that happens with her neck shrinking event. I mean, she has a really long neck after that.
Isn't that like what happens to Mario?
Yeah, when he gets, when he gets stepped on.
When you step on the Goombas, isn't that what happens to them? They just go...
She hit a brick with her head and it made her small.
This is a Mexican-style lager, which I don't know what that means. It means it tastes brewed with Pilsner malt and flaked maize. This is from Weldworks, and it's good. Yeah, tastes like it's a beer flavored beer. I don't know what. I guess the maize makes it Mexican, but I think that that's just the fucking Spanish word for corn. I don't know if it's like a Mexican corn or if they're just being weird about it.
It's just coming here to take our corn's job, Jimmy. You know that.
Oh, there we go. With their long bones.
Yes, because if there's one thing the Mexicans are known for, it's their height. The stereotypical Mexican in America looms tall. He stands above the rest of us with his backpack and pair of Timberlands outside of a Home Depot saying, Trabajo. The slender man of the South.
So then she starts to grow and she gets too big and then she grits the key and then she drinks the drink me and then she shrinks down again and she gets just
so
right.
Wait, hold on. When she gets too tall, she's like, oh no, I'm so tall.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm going to have to mail shoes to my feet. I'm going to have to put them in the post.
I'm going to have to play for the Rutgers women's basketball team. This is terrible. Don Imus is going to say shit about me.
Oh, God, he is, yeah. And then she starts to cry a lot. And since she's the height of George Murison now, her tears create a flood. And then she starts to shrink again. And then she's going to drown her
George
own tears.
It's well known that George Murison is only that tall because he has never cried.
Yeah, once he cries, he will shrink down to normal human height.
George Murison has fucking a growth hormone issue. He just has to cry it out. He'll shrink down to normal Romanian orphan height. So then she cries herself down, as women do. She then is small and broken.
And threatens to drown a fleet of small animals in her tears. And they all eventually make it to land.
I'm just going through some shit now. Fucking. Like, oh no. The woodland creatures scamper as fast as they can.
And then there's a section in the book that's not in the movie for good reason, because it's not good.
She goes to Lizard Man, the Caucasian race.
Well, they have to have like all the they talk to all the fucking.
That was a metaphor.
Animals. They talk to all the animals, and there was one funny part when they attempts to dry. It's like, we need to dry off, and he's like, okay, I'll do it. And so I started reciting them the most blandest early English history lessons. It's like,
it's
I get
dry.
It. It's really dry.
But then the
Lewis Carroll, you fuck.
Oh, he's not done. He has not begun to do dad jokes. But then one of them, is it a bird? I can't remember who. Is like, let's do a caucus race. And they're like, a Caucasian race? He's like, yes, that's the good one. And then they're like, let's go, we'll run for a really long time. And it takes them like 40 minutes of running, or as non-Caucasians call it, a 100-meter dash. And then they run around, and eventually like, who won? What's the race? Like, we're dry now. Who gives a fuck? And they're like, yep, that's what happens in Wonderland. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
And if you expect anything to make sense, don't do that. It's not going to start. It's only going to get worse.
So I was incredibly frustrated as I was reading, because I was like, what the fuck is this? No, actually, even worse, I went on Audible, and Audible has a lot
fucker.
Of... No, so, no, wait. Audible has a lot of these, out of copyright classics that are just read by, just free. You don't even have to pay a credit for them. It's like, oh, Alice in Wonderland, this will be great. I could not follow a fucking thing. Like, so after a couple of chapters, probably like half the book, which still wasn't very long because it's very short. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Let me just read it. And then I had the same experience of like, well, I have no idea what is going on. Oh, my God. So then I tried to figure out, what is this book actually about? And I have no idea.
Drugs,
but
baby.
I've decided to impose an interpretation upon it so that it makes more sense to me. So in my mind, what is he writing about? Just the bewildering process of growing up, or more like the bewildering behavior of adults when you're a child, and just how adults are just, it just must be so strange. Like, why are the grown-ups doing all that? And why is the queen saying off with their heads? Like, that's justice, you know?
Oh, that part's obviously about circumcision, Nate. Everyone knows that.
So anyway, my thought about like just like what is this book about is just so weird and bizarre because he's saying, and I don't know if this is true, this is just what I'm trying to make sense of, is he's saying this is what it's like to be a child trying to understand how adults behave, how adults act.
There is a section later on where she's talking to the Duchess and says, "You're thinking about something, my dear, that and that makes you forget to talk. I can't tell you just now what the moral of that is, but I shall remember it in a bit. Perhaps it hasn't one." He says, "Everything's got a moral, if only you can find it." And I thought, maybe, but also maybe this is just full of shit. So
I would say there's at least a 50% chance this is all just nonsense.
I think it's unprovable either way, probably. The first quarter of the book is just growing and shrinking to different sizes.
Really,
and then she
meets
a caterpillar who's smoking
time.
A hookah, and he also makes her grow and shrink. And he's kind of cryptic dick about stuff.
He is really high. He's just trying to keep it together. He does not. He's just like, nope.
He's like, "You're freaking out. I'm seeing a tiny person. How do you think I feel?"
Dude, I've just been living this past the duchy for years now. I love musical youth. This generation ruled the nation.
I have so many hands. You know how long it takes me to work around the circle?
Which left? Like, how do I know that my left is your left? Shut the fuck up, caterpillar. did I highlight something here?
He says,
I did highlight a lot of things when they start talking
to grow
about pussies.
Tall, but stand on this side to be small.
Oh, you know what? I just wanted to highlight this of what the bottle of magic cum she drank tasted like, and she noticed it wasn't marked poison, so it was nothing but a good time. And it tasted like a sort of mixed flavor of cherry tart, custard, that's already gross, pineapple, roast turkey, coffee, and hot buttered toast. So it's like somebody pureed a full English breakfast and was like, "Here, just drink this." And she's like, "Well, that's pretty good. This is what we do." No wonder we sailed around the world looking for fucking cinnamon.
And then she turned into a blueberry.
Violet, you're turning violet. And then there's another good line there about the cake that says, "Eat me." That I thought was just, this is a great room here for I really wish that there was a narrator in the book at this point who was a very, very sassy gay man. She ate a little bit and said, which way, holding her hand on top of her head to feel which way it was growing. And she was quite surprised that she had remained the same size. To be sure, this is what generally happens when one eats cake. And I wish there was a gay guy. I'm like, "If only." Because straight, anyone can make that joke, but it's only funny if Cam from Modern Family says it. Stay the same size? In your dream, sister. But anyway, she becomes, she goes, and another key line is, "Curiouser and curiouser," which also the gay character could say. And then begins a process of people asking her to recite poems from school, which was probably a thing. You know, that was probably a thing kids did back in the day. They were just whipped into memorizing.
Yeah, they hadn't
bullshit.
Invented fun yet, so.
Can you remember this dumb poem about an old man and it has a lesson for you to learn in it? And she keeps reciting the poem. She's like, "That's not right, is it?" And I guess if I was alive in 1865, I'd be like, "Oh, that's so funny. That's not the right version of that poem." But reading it now, like, I just skipped over those.
I've got zero context for this whole debate on why I'm saying words wrong. Like,
these
those words all seemed
dumb.
Okay. I don't know, man.
You're dumb. You're dumb, analyst.
Well, one of them was, "Mary had a little bat."
And, no, it was.
How
it
I
was,
wonder where it's at.
No, it was "Twinkle, twinkle, little bat." How
oh,
I wonder
okay,
where you're at.
Dude, I was
this
pretty
is
close.
Why audiobooks don't work.
I've heard that somewhere else, too.
I'm sure it's been copied from this. I mean, Lewis Carroll is known for his borderline pedophilic ways and wordplay. Oh, and he was a math professor. But he was known, like he was into word games and, you know, linguistic trickery. So
you know what passed for fun before they invented it?
I mean, they were just it was Victorian England.
Yeah, fun was legally not an option. Legally not allowed.
You had to just wear black for the rest of your life, and then just you know pray that one day you saw an ankle, and then you'd spontaneously come from that. That was basically it. That's all they had. And then at the end of it, the early 1900s, they were like, just like sail this boat into a fucking iceberg. I don't want to live anymore.
Except was. Prostitution was also rampant. So I don't know.
But you had to judge them very harshly and then judge yourself. It was very Catholic, actually, ironically, for a place that was the Church of England.
It's like, oh, this prostitution.
Is wrong. Oh, yes, we have a Patreon. Oh, no, wait, what did you say? Were you going to introduce your beer, or is it you
no,
really want the
no,
Patreon?
No, it was Patreon. Yeah.
So if you want to support the podcast, and you're, you know, in the newest profession, you can do podcasting.
Newest, coolest one.
You can do so by heading over to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and get early access to episodes, exclusive content, stuff mailed to you. Join us for our live episodes. Chat with us. Tell us how much we suck, and we'll actually listen. Though I care every time anyone says it, it keeps me up at night. It's really hard. It really makes me sad. And so much more. And join our community of people who read books and maybe know what they're talking about.
Not much of that second part.
Maybe. I said maybe. You could be the one that knows. You could be.
We're still searching.
What really happens?
Tell us what you thought, which almost never happens. No one tells us what they thought. Send us an email. It's fun. We answer them timely now. If you're able to do that, you could support the podcast just by leaving us a good review or telling someone to check it out. Next time you're tripping balls, if you're not sure if something's real or not, just be like, hey, do you listen to the Drunk Guys Book Club? And if they say yes, you are tripping balls. That's not a real person. And if they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
statistically,
I'm right now hallucinating. So back to the book. Where were we? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
I think we're about to get to the tea party.
Well, it says you have to like destroy that guy's house
there's a baby pig. The Duchess and the pig baby. And that's all I wrote down, figuring that would remind me. But I read this 2 days ago, and it doesn't remind me of anything because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I also read it a couple days ago. I remember this part. There's a baby crying and a woman like hitting a baby with a frying pan. And she's like, wow, that seems a bit rough. And then he's like,
and then the
like,
baby turns into a pig.
He's like, all right, yeah. Well,
and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'm
why not
I'm good then. And then there's the Cheshire Cat, which apparently is just named that because that's where Lewis Carroll was from. It was like an inside joke.
Because they're shifty bastards there.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
The cat sends her. Is like, where do you want to go? She's like, He's like, I don't know, wherever. It's like, well, then you can go wherever you want. It's like, you fucking cats. Why don't talk to cats?
He just turns his head around like an asshole and just says, we're all a bit mad here. And she's like, are we? And he's like, yes. They need to put down that dog. He is mad. he's rabid. It's a
companion
problem.
Piece to Old Yeller. That's one we haven't done.
Is that a book?
Absolutely,
oh,
yeah. God.
Oh, no. I still remember falling asleep to that movie 25 years ago. Oh.
Spoiler alert. He doesn't get that old.
But in dog years, he's up there. He has a good run. So I don't fucking know what the hell happens.
So then she goes to see the Hatter and the Mad Hare, or the Mad Hatter and the Hare. They're all mad. Doesn't matter. And the Dormouse, who's not mad, just sleepy.
So in the tea party scene, it's like there's a giant table that's set for this giant tea party. And so, but it's only like the three of them,
and they the always sitting just, on the table.
When they like use up the tea that's in front of them, they just move down a couple of seats. And there was a weird thing about how like, well, it's always 6 o'clock here, so it's always tea time. And it reminded me, like, wasn't this the time when they were standardizing time zones? And like,
it was all based on like high noon, wasn't it? Not very good yet.
Well, there was a point when time zones became a thing, and they sort of made it so that you could actually know what times things were in different places, and not just like noon wasn't like 20 minutes off in the next town over all the time. And
how irritating
of the railroads,
must that shit have been when you showed like, what time is it? No, the year?
The
no,
time.
The time. I go, it's 12:17. Like, God damn, I'm off by 18 minutes. To adjust constantly.
I bet, like, watch again.
I bet there were people who fucking knew that nonsense. They're like, oh, you go on down there to who gives a shit Bumville, and it's 17 minutes ahead of here. You know, you got to set your clock ahead.
But it takes you 17 minutes to get there.
Takes you 2.5 hours to get there.
It was a mile.
There's no road. There's nothing. It's treachery. It's like walking through the Deadlands in Canticle of Filibowitz. You can't get there without being eaten by someone. But when you get there, your watch is going to be off. Just so you know. Heads up. But there's just one other line that stuck out to me when she's like, I cry. We're all wet. And she goes, I wish I hadn't cried so much, said Alice. Which is the same thing I said when I lost my virginity. And there's an awful lot of talk in this book about how this young girl gets too wet. And it was really, it was like laughing on them. I was like, what the fuck are you laughing at as you're reading this book? It's like, it's just, I know the guy who wrote this was kind of creepy, and all he's talking about is how wet this girl is. He's constantly, he's like, oh, I'm so wet. I'm sliding off my chair. It's like, it's not quite that bad, but it's close. Ugh. Yeah.
He's
worried about the underworld, the underland.
Was he a creepy man?
Dude, he like, I think so.
I know, it says, I looked him up on the Wikipedia, and he's like, his real name is not whatever the fuck, it's something else, but he's like
Louis,
Reverend
Louis
something.
Dodgson.
But he was a reverend. So, I mean, yeah, that in that
that's
ups
a
the creep
sign.
Factor, yeah. Well, it's not father. But, yeah, I don't really know much about him, other than that he seems like he was a big fucking nerd.
So, thing is, like, it's starting in like, recent years, like the last, like, probably 40, 50 years, people writing biographies of Lewis Carroll, like, that dude was a fucking creeper, because he has, like, he was involved in photography when it first came out, and he has, like, these, like, vaguely erotic pictures, and they're not, like, porn, but they're not the staid...
They're not great.
...portraits of the time. It's like, here's this child dressed like a street urchin, and you could see the feet very clearly, you fucking perv. And then he has like
a child foot guy.
It's the worst kind. It's the worst kind because
worst kind of foot guy.
It's the worst kind. I mean, who wants to deal with Velcro? I mean, there's nothing hot about it. There's nothing hot about it. But it's like his paintings of like little girls sitting on a beach naked, just like covering the bits.
Ugh.
Yeah. Now some people are like, "Oh, you just that's a different time," and he was just a naive.
Even his friends were like, "Dude, you got a problem."
I'm going to make a world where this is fine, where girls can be wet all the time till they get bored and then they have to hear a whole bunch of dad jokes as my turtle pokes out of its shell.
Mock turtle.
Yeah, that's what happens. But he like was interested in like naked kids.
Well, you know, he had a. He's a reverend. He's a math guy. He's also interested in naked kids. Like, oh,
I'm just building up to it.
He dabbled. He dabbled in several fields.
He was on a quest.
Literature, you know. Math, you know,
knowledge,
kids,
not carnal knowledge of children. I mean, I'm no expert. I've not read a biography of the guy. I've read Wikipedia and several other articles. But
it's not like some one lone weirdo who's like just out to make a buck. It's like people are in general saying. He might have been a kid fucker.
Or at least maybe he was like a restrained one. Because he was Victorian England. He didn't get to do anything he wanted to do.
Hmm.
So maybe he kept it under check. But I don't know. I don't know.
So he was a wannabe kid fucker.
Is that worse?
Poser.
It's the one wannabe that's better than the other
one. Yeah, that's the one where we're like, all right, don't. Sometimes you miss your dreams for a reason, you know? Like,
you know. Not all dreams are meant to be chased.
It's like, don't go chasing waterfalls. Like, I'm just going to the sprinklers. They put them on in August. Kids come out.
So the next scene is the famous Queen of Hearts scene where they play croquet with flamingos as mallets and hedgehogs as croquet balls, but they're also all decks of from the deck of cards, and all of the servants just bend over to become the wickets.
This part is like the cartoon.
Is that what it's called? Those are called wickets. I thought wicket was a cricket term.
Wickets
I think
are
also
that.
Called
yeah.
Wickets in croquet.
Those are called wickets.
Is that right? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're sticky. So anyway, and the queen is just saying, off with their head.
Oh, it's like the same thing. Okay. Because like the wicket, it's like, it's not round and cricket. It's like a thing. They have balanced some stupid fucking thing on there. So some dude from the Caribbean can hit it with a ball. But
no one understands cricket, so I don't
I've know. Tried. My father-in-law watches the cricket channel a lot, and I've learned how it works. It's baseball that was dropped on its head as a child. And I understand it a little bit. And every once in a while, when I think I'm getting it, I'll like venture an opinion. Like, so that guy should have done that, right? And he'll be like, that's the answer I'll get. But but it's the same thing. Like, there's like a thing on top of a croquet wicket where it'll knock that little tab over so you know you actually hit it the right way. It's a dumb game. That is a dumb game. It was in the Olympics once. Did you know that?
They couldn't finish the game before the Olympics ended.
They're still playing it. 1900 Olympics. They're still going. The 1900 Olympics. The second ones, which were like in fucking Paris, I think. They had croquet at the Olympics.
Croquet is actually less impressive as an Olympic sport than cricket would be.
No, croquet. Like, imagine croquet. Yeah, saying, you go to the Olympics, and they're like,
weird. Croquet?
There's like dudes doing like high jump, and like, you know, it's all dudes. I don't think they're a woman yet. Running, jumping, lifting weights, and there's like some fucking fop tapping a ball with what looks like the side of a janitor's broom into a fucking thing. What a ridiculous game.
When you look at like the history of, I think I was looking at when those two Irish kids won that rowing thing out of nowhere. And like, everyone in Ireland like had a parade for them. I was like, wow, they must not win a lot. And look at the history of Irish Olympics. And it was like, they won a medal for painting in 1912 or some shit. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. They used to give Olympic medals for like painting and poetry up until like 52 or 48 were around there. And then they were like, those don't count. Only masculine games.
Yeah.
But they used to, because that was like the Greeks. The ancient Greeks had like artsy, stupid things. They even had what must have been an amazing event in ancient Greece. Who could play the trumpet loudest?
Not even best, but loudest.
Well, because it was all military themed, you know. So it was all, you know, running with armor and wrestling and gay wrestling and whatever else they did. And they had one was like heraldry was an event, but one was making a loud like trumpet blast. Just like, who can make the biggest trumpet fart? And it was just, it's not like you played a tune. It's like a bugle. It's like a straight horn. You just get a noise out of it. It's like playing a conch. And they would just, bah! And then, great job, Stavros, next guy. And you're like, hey, I'm Gus. And they go, oh, a little louder. That must have been the most fun to watch. Like, I hope they had like a crowd meter. And like the guys would like whip off their chitons. And they were all naked. There were no women allowed. It was just a lot of buggery and guys blowing trumpets.
Blowing their horns the loudest.
Just blowing trumpets. Nate, you have a degree in history. You should know these stupid stories. so you can confirm them when I say that. So we could be a truly educational podcast.
So then something else happens to Alice, and they do the game. And honestly, I stopped writing down the individual chapters at this point because they didn't fucking matter.
And then there's the next chapter with the Mock Turtle, where they learn the Lobster Quadrille, which is a dance.
It's the Rock Lobster. It's the dance you do to Rock Lobster by the B-52s.
And they do a bunch of more nonsense poems, which I absolutely skipped, and I have no idea what they are.
It's a Rock Lobster. You just do that. Lobster Quadrille. You just do that, guys. That guy does it. Do you know that song, Nate?
Yes.
Okay.
And then
I really hope Jimmy... I thought Jimmy was going to join me in. We were going to do that guy's voice for a while, but I guess not.
And then there's the final scene, which is the court scene, where literally no one has any idea what's going on.
So it's like real court.
But the knave, also known as the Jack, is on trial for something, and the queen tries to keep saying, off with his head, before the trial is over. And Alice has to be like, wait, no, this is not how a trial works. Whereas Alice is the one who knows a little bit about how a trial works, so she has to tell people what to do. It's one of those examples of like old-timey children's literature, which is just adults acting like children, and that's supposed to be funny.
And this is one of those times
Where it's like the jurors tried to write their names on their slates before they could forget them. Like, okay, great.
On the Wikipedia for Lewis Carroll, it was just like, he was, you know, properly known for the genre of literary nonsense. I was like, okay, well.
That's like sure. the Limerick guy. What's his fucking name?
The one from Nantucket?
Oh, that guy's, he is well known. I'm going to say the wrong name. I wanted to say Thomas Nast, but I know that's the wrong fucking name. That's the Thomas political Nast, cartoonist, the, right?
It's fucking...
It's a political cartoonist. Political
cartoons, yeah.
The one who invented Santa. And the donkey.
Boss Tweed.
And the donkey and the elephant.
Boss Tweed got arrested based on... He was like, he ran away to Spain. And then they recognized him from a Thomas Nast cartoon. And he must have got there the wrong time because the Spanish authorities woke up from a nap. And they were like, get him! But they said it with a lisp. Edward Lear is the name I was trying to think of. That's the guy who did had a whole bunch of dumb limericks, which are fun when you read one at a time. But if you're trying to read the whole book, man, that's a chore. So we skipped a lot of things. And I don't want to give away the ending.
Did we, though?
Well, not
did
enough.
We skipped them, but like...
We almost skipped this beer.
Nothing mattered.
So I don't want to give away the ending, but it's a dream. But could you say it's a pineapple triple cream dream, which is probably what Lewis Carroll would have liked to do to a young girl?
Was Lewis Carroll's favorite song, Your Body is a Wonderland?
You know what? I don't know who I want to dislike more, him or John Mayer, but yeah, I think it is. I would like to think now that Lewis Carroll, when he was writing this, he only did it speaking the way John Mayer sings, like in that whisper voice. Like,
and the king came here. Back by Georgia.
He's just singing the fucking shitty John Mayer whisper voice. So this is triple, no, fucking, I can't even read these. Pineapple triple cream dream, which is.
Sounds good.
It sounds vaguely sexual to me, though. A New England style double India pale ale with milk, sugar, pineapple, and Tahitian vanilla powder, which is confusing that it says pineapple triple cream dream, but then it says it's a double IPA. Like, get your ordinals correct. And it is from Aurora Brewing. Aurora. Which is in Kings Ferry, New York. Isn't that like, that's like past the Bronx, right? Or is that Dobbs Ferry? I don't know where the ferries are.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. 9% alcohol, though. Let's see. Wouldn't call it a triple.
Maybe it's just triple the cream.
That's what Lewis Carroll liked to put into the kids. So apparently, I'm like trying to read more about this, and he had like no interest in grown-up sex, and he took tons of pictures of naked or near-naked kids.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a sign something's off.
Now, some people have tried to defend it and be like, dude, it was a different time.
but never a time where that was okay.
Well, apparently, like, in the Victorian era, there was this whole attitude of, like, childhood innocence. And, you know.
I think even then, they're like, yeah, but that guy takes a little too far.
Yeah. He had whooping cough and he had a stammer. Oh, my God. I'm trying to understand more about him. But, yeah, he's a little creeper. And then if you look up the woman who... Alice Little, Liddell. It's Mike Liddell's great grandmother, the My Pillow guy.
That might explain something.
Is that his name? Liddell? Or is it Liddell? Is that how he spells it?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe. Well, her name, I think it's Little because it's British. Alice Pleasance Liddell, or Little, who died in the 1930s, is an old bag. He took pictures of her. More than one, took a bunch of pictures of her, you know, like sitting next to a pot wearing her pajamas, same with her sisters. And then you see what she looked like as a grown up. Did you have screen sharing? You disabled it, you son of a bitch.
It's just automatic.
Because you're a tyrant. Because giving rights is something you have to do.
Do what I want. Okay, it's good to go.
She's not a looker.
She's got a strong jaw.
So that is a masculine look.
I don't think those bangs are really the right thing for her.
She's not a good-looking woman. But as a kid...
I don't know what she, oh, no.
Look at these pictures. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's not like he was a photographer. I mean,
it's not exactly risque, but...
It's not, but like...
Victorian,
here,
London.
Photography was brand new.
Look at him here. This is the poor man's
orgy. They don't
look
thrilled.
Because they had to sit like that for 48 minutes. But yeah, he was all into the kitties. But hold on, let me find the other thing. If you go to the Lewis Carroll page and it's like, was Lewis Carroll creepy? Here's something he painted.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
Why did you do that, Lou?
That's a weird painting to have.
Painting a naked girl on a beach. Not cool, dude.
Naked child.
Yes. You're right. If it was a young boy, it would also have been wrong, Nate. So, anyway, pineapple triple. This is good.
Interspersed with all your talk of the pineapple triple cream dream is all this talk of Lewis Carroll's rampant pedophilia.
I mean, it might have been checked. He might have kept it under control. But yeah, this beer is great. But he would have looked at this. He'd be like, "Look at that kid. She is a cream dream." But he really, he was, I don't know, I'm not an expert on 1800s English culture, but like, come on, dude, that's creepy.
Yeah, I know things were different back then, but they weren't that different.
Well, then we get to the, whatchamacallit, court scene. Oh no, did we go to the mock turtle yet? The mock turtle is when he pulls out
dance.
Every dad joke in the world, and they just, everything they say is a pun. I think the original title of the Mock Turtle was Big Pun, was the original name for that character, because that's all he does is pun. It's like, no shrimp would appear without a porpoise. He's like, don't you mean purpose? And like that kind of thing relentlessly happens. There's a whole bunch of other ones. There's another passage about, I'm just looking at what I highlighted, another passage about Alice being wet. Why did you call him the tortoise? Because he taught us. Like, that kind of shit just continues to happen. And after, like, the third one, you're like, yeah, I know what Nate feels now.
Well, okay, if you're British and you, like, drop the R.
Oh, I get it.
Those would sound very similar.
Oh, I get the joke. Jimmy and I will do that.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, why did they even think that was funny? I think
they're saying he loves these jokes, Michael.
Why did they even think that was funny?
He's just playing hard to get with our jokes.
So yeah, then it's the final scene is the court scene, and where it's like total chaos and nobody knows how a trial is supposed to happen except for Alice, and then she kind of like sticks up for herself and she says, no, that's not the way court is supposed to happen. And then somehow she wakes up and it's like, oh wait, she was asleep this whole time.
It was a cream dream. And she's like, I'm all sticky.
She used to read Word Up magazine.
Heavy D, salt and pepper in the limousine?
No, yeah. So. Yeah.
Nate's not interested in quoting the bard, the notorious big.
I'm not. Anyway, and then there's some line like, oh, and then Alice told her sister the stories of what she saw, and then later other kids would find it funny, and then the end.
And she's like, oh, like, didn't she say something like the other, I realized I was dreaming and like the noises or whatever, like influenced the dream. Is that what was happening there? I was at this like 98%. Get there. I don't care. I wasn't really very careful. But I felt like she was like, let me go back and look at the passage.
I think her sister heard her talking in her sleep.
Man, I really don't give a flying fuck because man, this book sucked ass. But yeah, so this is the passage I was thinking of. So she sat on with closed eyes and half believed herself in Wonderland, though she knew she had but to open them again and all would change to dull reality. The grass would be only rustling in the wind and the pool rippling to the waving of the reeds. The rattling teacups would change to the tinkling sheep bells and the queen's shrill cries to the voice of the shepherd boy. It's just like she was like hearing noises around her and like her sleeping child brain turned them into other things. That's what I thought. Like, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
It's like, you know, when Dorothy wakes up, it's like, and you were there.
Yeah. And when there was that windstorm, there was a big tornado, and this is like, oh, I did queef at one point. But we had beans yesterday on toast. Oh, that's right, sister. So then it ends. And then if you are like any other person in the year 2023 or 2027 when this episode comes out, you're like, the fuck was that? What was that bullshit? This is famous. They made someone, Walt Disney was like, let's make a movie out of that.
I could 100% understand why it would be a good kids cartoon.
Dude, that Disney movie's great.
It irons out the weird stuff. Dumb stuff.
They also did take more material though from the sequel book, Through the Looking Glass.
Oh yeah.
And Walt Disney, they were like, "Listen, Walt, he might have been a kid diddler," and he's like, "But was he a Jew?" And they're like, "I don't think
probably
so."
He's
like, "All right, fine, print it." But it is dumb.
It's a series of non sequiturs. It's kind of like the Mary Poppins shit, you know, where like each chapter is like a dumb little one-off thing. They have no continuity whatsoever, pretty much. And overall, he's like, I could see, you know, why parts of this are cool or like fun. Why would it be fun for a kid? But it doesn't age well, and it's, as a unit, incoherent. And other people did better stuff with it.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like crying of Lot 49, it's just... The point was that it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
That was the point of the book. It just doesn't make sense. These are just silly stories. There isn't really a special meaning. I mean, maybe there is. I'm saying that because I didn't see one. Not that I'm qualified to see one at all. But I think these were just silly stories he told to distract.
A kid to take off her clothes.
Yeah. And then it was like, isn't that silly? Ha, ha, ha. Okay, put your clothes back on now.
Jeez. At times it felt like kind of when a teenager trying to like, look how random I am. Look how random I can be.
Yes. People have Cheshire Cat posters or tattoos now. And your poster's fucking lame, right? But like the random weirdness of Alice in Wonderland attracts a certain type of high schooler.
Yeah.
And then certain lines, like, we're all a bit mad here. People are like, aren't we? Shut the fuck up. shut the fuck up, 16-year-old. Go fucking go back to your MySpace, you loser. I'm just picturing high school now.
Yeah. It was a Zanga.
And there was a girl I was going out with in high school who was way into this. And they're like, yep, she was crazy. Jimmy knows her.
Oh yeah.
And then they made there must have been like something in the air though, because Tim Burton made a new shitty Alice in Wonderland movie in the early 2000s, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, success of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory remake, they're like, great. What else can we pay Tim Burton to do for us and put Johnny Depp in?
Oh, good thing they didn't count his success of the Planet of the Apes movie. Which didn't he do? Tim Burton did a Planet of the Apes.
He did the Planet of the Apes before they made. He did the first version of the Planet of the Apes, and then they started like, oh, let's just pretend that never happened.
It was
with Marky Mark.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it was not very good. It has nothing to do with the rise of the Planet of the Apes series. It was a separate thing that we pretend didn't happen.
Well, I think it just became like a hipster thing, you know, probably around the same time that like. Stores and malls like
stuff you could sell at Hot Topic or Spencer's
or would have a cool, you know, because they were really always just using the images from the Disney movie. You know, the Cheshire Cat is a cool image of just the head with the googly eyes or whatever.
Yeah, it has an interesting aesthetic and like done. It's got a bunch of weird, interesting ideas. It's just the book is kind of just gibberish. And doesn't seek to be anything more than that, I don't think. So I guess, you know, success. But it's not a great read.
Yeah, I don't know if there's meant to be anything to interpret in this. You know, like you could look at things like he likes to have like lots. There are lots of different types of pun things he does. And then there are, and that's it. That's all I got. just nonsense. I don't know what else to say. Nate's theory of this is what it's like to be a kid I'm not going to say that's wrong. Could very well make sense to me.
I'm not saying it's right.
It's just as possible as it isn't.
It doesn't explain all of the really specific events that don't make sense. It just explains the overall idea that it's just bewildering.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of kids stuff, it's for kids. It's not for adults. So, you know, a lot of kids have just like, oh, isn't that a silly thing happened? It's like, you know, the Roald Dahl stuff. When James and the Giant Peach, where they just like flowing through the sky and a bunch of weird shit happens. It's nothing to do with one another. And you're like, oh, this is goofy, but maybe a kid would like this because it's...
There's fucking sky people throwing snowballs.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, next goofy thing. It's a different aesthetic. It's just old as shit.
I did like this part, this line from a literary critic in recent memory who is a fucking dummy, said... You know, it's all about rules, because Alice continues to look for rules to soothe her anxiety. And while Carol may have hunted for rules because he struggled with the implications of non-Euclidean geometry. He's like, I don't understand geometry on a surface of a sphere. Isn't that what Euclidean is?
That's so all it is,
I need therefore, to have a
caterpillar
child
smokes a hookah.
I need a child to trip balls. That's the only way I can make sense of this. Parallel lines meeting? What? I need
madness.
Please, get me a shipload of peyote. No, it's fucking ridiculous. I think what makes this book a classic is that you could interpret it a bajillion ways. And those interpretations exist somewhere. Like someone important has made them before.
About to get here any second now.
Eminent, right? That's the important one. I avoid those words, but I've had several beers now. Someone smarter than us allegedly has made some sort of dumb argument because that's what they have to do to get their dissertation.
Impotent.
Yeah, well, he was impotent unless that kid was under a certain age.
Yeah.
They go, this is all about, you know, whatever it is. This is about colonialism. Like, is it? Fucking no, it's not. But you could find a way to argue it because it's nonsense.
It's clearly about the Red Scare.
You could twist the nonsense.
Which happened
to be about
100 years later.
Wait, the book's from 1865. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
You can make it be about anything.
Because it's about nothing.
The book is about the insanity of the slave system in the United States.
The book is about Seinfeld.
About man's inhumanity to man.
Yeah. The book is about inefficacy of the British education system. Because she's constantly being, and you could even argue that, she's constantly being told to recite poems she's supposed to learn in school, and they're not interesting and kids don't learn them. Because it's nonsense, and you could say anything. That's the thing. Should anyone read it today? No.
No.
Watch the Disney movie. It's fine. It's like 68 minutes long. Almost nice. And you just plow through it. And you're like, so that was a crazy adventure. And they had to take two books to make one decent Disney movie.
Yeah, we didn't even read the second book.
Thank God.
We should.
No. Fuck.
It has the other interesting. It has the more interesting things as Jabberwocky and the fucking Walt. Yeah, and the Walrus and the Carpenter.
I was wondering where that was.
Mm.
Yeah, half of this stuff has been cut out and therefore removed from the public, memory, collective memory, and the other half was one story
in a movie.
Yeah.
All right, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram @drunkguysbookclub.
And if you are tripping balls but you still have your credit card available, head over to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub where you can support the podcast. Or leave us a review wherever you're listening. Just give one star for every time this kid changes size and shape.
And you can also give us on Goodreads. If you have a credit card, you can also send it to us. We will use it for only good things. I promise. I just need one help.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.